have Larry Doss right now. Do we know if we're expecting him?
Yes, he's supposed to be here. Yep.
And I'm admitting him now. So I wasn't going to wait, but.
I love your backdrop, Stephen.
Thank you. Before I open up the meeting, did anyone get a chance to see the meteor? We went on our roof and looked at it through binoculars. It didn't look as cool as this, but it looked pretty cool. Okay, it is 5:02, and I'm calling to order the special session of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. I'm going to order the closed session at 5 p.m., but before we do that, I'm going to move into public comments. This portion of the agenda allows the public to speak to the board on closed session items. Each speaker is limited to speak for a period of 3 minutes regarding each item on the closed session agenda. The 3-minute time limit may not be transferred to other speakers. The 3-minute time limit for each speaker may be extended by the president of the board of commissioners or presiding member. The 3-minute time limit for each speaker may be enforced by the president of the board or the presiding member at the regular meeting of the district. So do we have any comment from the public?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Can I have 30 minutes? Never mind. I'll take 3.
I didn't ask for names, but I saw Felix also rose his hand before you speak. So I'll go to Felix and then I'll go to you, Kent. Okay.
Thank you.
Board members, thank you very much. My name is Felix Huerta. I'm the operating engineer's business agent assigned to work with the employees out there. And over the last 3 or 4 months, we have been working diligently with the employees and with your labor committee. And I think we have a deal worked out. The membership is voting actually to accept the agreement that we worked out with Larry. We should have a vote by tomorrow at 12 o'clock. And so all things being considered, we should be able to let you know, Larry, at 12:30, if the membership is willing to accept that agreement, and I'll let you know promptly at 12:30.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Felix. And Ken?
Well, that's really good news. That's item number one on there. I've always supported our local labor people who work with you. Speak frequently with Jeff Hunterlock regarding his concerns on labor, and I'm really pleased to see that you have an amicable settlement and agreement. So on number two, you're discussing, I believe, on that one is the dog ranch. And the public perception is, and I thought I'd give you a little input on this, that was originally set up to be transferred through you. And I never understood why you guys would even take title anything for 10 minutes or 10 days or 2 years. And then transfer that off to the another public entity. And then all of a sudden, we hear that's changed. And I believe you voted $15,000 for helping the process and all this. But now it's perceived that this is going to go to a certain nonprofit, which is, I believe, Friends of the Dunes. And I'm going to caution you, as far as I'm concerned, if it's going to any nonprofit coming through you, it would be a gift of public funds, even to a nonprofit. And so if you're going to do so, you need to put out an RFP. My understanding, and this is just all hearsay, is that there's another $45,000 beyond your $15,000 coming from the Conservancy. The ask is $115,000 to manage that project during the initial phase. So if you're going to put out an RFP, and I highly recommend you do, because maybe the Sierra Club or Audubon may be wanting to take that, you never know. They should all be given an equal chance, and they should say, hey, there's $15,000 plus $45,000 for management. And then if they come in at that, then of course, highly recommend you would take that over someone who wants $115,000. I'm just trying to caution you that the public is watching this process, and any perception that anybody is being shown favoritism in this process, well, I make recommendations with consequences. I never threaten litigation, so I'm not doing that. But I just would say that I highly recommend. I recommended you stay out of this before. I still recommend you just stay out of this one. I saw no reason why you should be an intermediary in any circumstance on this project. Number three, you're talking about a lease or sale of your dredge, I believe, if I understand this. The public perception is out there that you may be interested in leasing that, or lease with an option to purchase and buying another dredge. Well, you know, it's been the public perception again that money, that $2 million, and I don't even know where the balance of that is or where that is. According to your asset, the dredge there doesn't even come close to $2 million. So you should have $1 million or a significant amount of money in some special fund. That needs to go directly to dredging, not going through the whole thing of buying a dredge, trying to run a dredge. You're not in the dredging business. And of course, we do have a contract we'll be talking on. It's not on this agenda, I don't believe, as far as closed session, that's open session. So thank you for my opportunity to give you a little bit of fatherly advice on your closed session items.
Thank you, Mr. Swatsky. I do not see any other public, but I will ask if there is any other public comment before we move into closed session. Seeing none. We are going to move into executive closed session. So we'll be back at 6 o'clock in open session.
Hopefully see you then, or hear you then. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, so we're in closed session. So Adam, you're gonna leave?
I could stay at the dog ranch if you want, Larry. I don't know what order you're going.
Yeah, if you could make sure that we allow the sharing.
Okay, yeah, I will, since I am... Good. You should be allowed to share now.
And Stephen, why don't you hit the stop on the record function?
Okay. Well, actually, not Adam, audio for everybody and make it easier for everybody to hear what's going on. And so it is 6:02. I'm going to call to order the special session of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Commissioner Dale.
Here.
Commissioner Marks.
Here.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yeah.
Vice President Dale. Or I'm sorry, Doss. Vice President Doss.
Here.
And President Coleman.
Present. Okay. Do we have a report out of closed session?
Yeah, the commission met on the first two items agendized for the closed session. No reportable action was taken.
Thank you. And so now we'll move into public comment. This portion of the agenda allows the public to speak to the board on various items not itemized on this agenda. If you are here to make public comment, I would ask that you first identify yourself. I'll take a list of names of people who want to make public comment, and then we'll go through that list. So is there anyone here to make public comment on items not on the agenda tonight? Okay, hearing none, we will get down to business. So the first item, Woodley Island Marina 2020 dredging contract. Larry, do you have a report on this?
Adam's going to give this report.
I can report. I'm going to share my screen. Can you folks see my screen?
Yes.
Fantastic. Hold on. Goes around. Okay, so I'm going to be talking about potentially awarding a contract for Woodley Island Marina dredging. Provide some background. We've talked about this before, but and so in 2019, we calculated that the storms added 26,000 cubic yards more material at Woodley Island Marina than occurs in a typical year. And that was a result of the severe storms. And also as a result of the severe storms, FEMA declared an emergency. Due to those two things, we've received funding from FEMA and California Office of Emergency Services, which will reimburse us for the dredging that we did in 2019, $616,000, which we've got a part of that reimbursement already. And then they will also pay for additional dredging of Woodley Island Marina this year of 7,192 cubic yards to address that 26,000 cubic yards that was a result of those severe storms. As directed by the board, we released a request for proposals to do that dredging as well as potential additional dredging. The request for proposals had two components, a base bid and an option bid. The base bid, which would be funded by FEMA and Cal OES, includes pre-dredge and post-dredge hydrographic surveys, mobilization and demobilization of the dredge equipment, and dredge and disposal of 7,192 cubic yards, as I just described, you know, what resulted from that emergency. The district has an option, which we laid out in the request for proposals, to add money, which would be from our dredge fund, to increase the total amount of dredging by 4,308 cubic yards, to a total of 11,500 cubic yards. If we do that, then we would be able to complete the dredging that was started in 2019 of the four fairways, the fairways between C through G. You've seen this graphic before, which the letters are indicating the different docks of the marina. The numbers are the design depths. So those are the target depths that we want to dredge the marina to ultimately. You can also see the red shading, which is a big hump of shoaling that we get here. Last year, in between C and G, we essentially dredged, it's not exact, but the areas with the number 12. So those areas have a target depth of 12 feet. We got most of all of that down to 12 feet. We didn't get into those areas between the C and G, C, G here, where the target depth is 10 foot. If we award both the base and the option bid, we'll be able to complete this dredging in C through G, mostly. The one caveat of that, which I should say, is, you know, that 11,500 cubic yard target is based upon the post-dredge surveys after the dredging was done in 2019. And we presume that some more material accumulated during this past winter storms, but it wasn't that severe, and we don't think is very much. So I think, you know, it's fair to say that if we award all that, we'll have completed, you know, the C to G fairways.
Hey, Adam, it's Greg.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Please jump in.
So the Corps this year dredged the inner reach there up next to the outside.
Yeah.
Do we have any idea what impact that had on our current sedimentation?
We don't know, because we haven't done any surveys within the marina after that the Corps dredged, but we will very soon, assuming we award this contract. One of the first steps is that we will go in and do pre-dredge surveys between C and G. And so we'll have the data from, November 2019 to compare with new data that we'll collect in August, you know, with the Corps having dredged in this channel, the Eureka Channel, between those dates. So to answer your question directly, no, we don't know what effect that's had in the marina yet, but we might get some idea after we do these pre-dredge surveys.
Adam, just on the same line, this is Larry Utker. Can you just say how deep the Army Corps got to in the battle channel there?
I forget. We have that data. Hold on, I need to admit a couple people to the room.
Okay. Yeah, It was previously it was about 14 feet, and they took it down to about 22 to 23 feet on average in that area.
That will equilibrate over time. It's an interesting question because, you know, the mud consolidates, and so then there's the question of how long will it hold a hard edge where they dig kind of a trapezoid in the middle of the channel, and it will equilibrate. It will give us benefit. And that'll be an interesting question. And Larry Otker at one point said that we should do soundings so that we kind of understand sediment flow. And so by and by, as we get into this, we'll understand that relationship better.
Yeah, all very related topics. Oh boy, hold on, my thing's not advancing.
Adam.
Yeah.
If I may jump in here too, can you go back to the slide showing the marina? So I know we're talking about C through G, and that's the primary area where this large hump is. In A through C, is that pretty close to the target depth now? And is that why we're not needing?
No, it's not. And you know, a lot of the worst problem is actually between G and I, and you know, beyond I over here. We have a lot of dredging we need to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, you know, there's 8 fairways. You know, if we complete this year, then we'll have done, a good job on half of them, not including the slips or these very ends here. You know, we're making substantial progress. We put a lot of thought into prioritizing, you know, and looking at C and G as a priority, partly just because physically looking at it, you know, we're taking out sort of the front of the hump here. There's also a lot of activity of boats there. This is where a lot of the boats that are going fishing all the time year round are coming out of. So there's just a lot more boating activity out of those fairways. You know, I think there are problems in all these other areas. You know, these areas where we have these 13-foot target depths, we have larger boats in there. So you can see, you know, these color gradient, I think it makes sense. You know, blue is the deepest and then goes up to red. You know, it is deeper between A and C, for example, in the breakwater, but that's also where we have larger commercial fishing boats and trawlers and stuff like that. You know, we have a lot of work to do, but again, you know, this in 2019, we identified C through G as a high priority. We made really good progress on those with the resources we had in 2019. And I think from our perspective, this is an opportunity to finish those fairways. Or if the board opts only to contract for the base bid, we'll make more progress and we'll hold some money back. You know, it's staff's recommendation right now. Well, I'll kind of get to that, but to do what we can. But there's certainly, you know, there's a decision in there to be made by the board. There's some pros and cons, I'd say.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I think it's important to point out that this is a windfall. We just got paid back for what we did last year, and they're paying for additional sediment to be removed. And then this proof of concept, moving the sediment to the small peninsula, which then allows us to do reuse the sediment for climate change adaptation and to treat the sediment as something reusable and valuable. And this is the first step. And yeah, you need to take the first step and at a small scale and small volume, and you know, we have less risk in terms of like how we transfer it. And people's expectations, we weren't even expected to be dredging this year. So the fishermen have got to be happy about that. And we're not going to get home this year. But we're going to establish a system that when we get our take permit for the longfin smelt, then we'll be basically doing this as a routine and under the control of the district. But this is the baby step, and we need to take it. Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, thank you all. And I'll keep going in my presentation here. So we opened the bids on Tuesday during a public meeting. We received 3 bids. ranging from 377,000 up to 872,000. The lowest bid was from Figus Construction. The way the request for proposal was framed, the lowest base bid, you know, as I previously described, there's a base bid we asked for and an option bid. So the award, the way it's structured is that the award will be to the lowest base bid, which was from Figus Construction. So they're the apparent low bidder. So that's what I'm going to focus on now. So again, Figus Construction was the lowest base bid. That's who the award would go to based upon the request for proposals. They provided that their bid was for $377,680. Again, that's to remove the 7,292 cubic yards funded by FEMA and Cal OES. They also provided an option bid, which again, this is what the district could choose to fund out of our dredge fund or not. For the option bid, they bid $40 per cubic yard. And so again, that's to remove 4,308 cubic yards for a total of $172,320, which would bring the total dredging amount to 11,500 cubic yards. Again, that's the amount of material left to reach target depths between C through G. So if we fund that whole thing, we can finish it. If we fund less, we'll kind of reprioritize and see what we think is most important, right? The method that's being proposed by Figus Construction is clamshell bucket dredging. That's really all that's allowed by our permits right now. Our permits did allow for some different options. They'd allow to go to hoods or to dewater at Terminal 2. Figus's proposal involves dewatering the material at Terminal 2, and then as part of the contract, after it's dewatered, they would stockpile it and get it buttoned up and ready for the winter so it can sit there through the winter without delivering sediment to the bay. And as Pat very rightly noted, you know, this is a really good pilot project. It's a good amount of dredging too. It's a great project in itself, in that finally we have a project that is going to deliver to the Samoa Peninsula at Terminal 2 to dewater. And we're working with Danco right now to look at options of how we're going to move that sediment ultimately to the Samoa town site so it can be used as part of that project as construction fill, as for beneficial use for sea level rise and tsunami protection. SHN has just recently finished a report on some testing they did of dredge material from Woodley Island Marina, and the results were very favorable, indicating that the material very likely can be used as construction fill at the Samoa town site. So we're continuing to work with Danco to figure out what the next steps are going to be in terms of figuring out the logistics, and there'll be some special studies and permitting involved to get that material to the Samoa town site, but it's all looking very promising.
And that's 100,000 cubic yards.
I'm sorry, what's 100,000 cubic yards?
Dan's needs.
According to
the Coastal Commission, you have to take 100,000 cubic yards.
Yeah, that sounds right. And you know, and this is, as you know, we're also working on this regional sediment management program, EIR. And I was on conversations today with the resources agency, and you know, just these two things where we're working at this larger spatial and temporal scale with this planning and environmental analysis document for the entire bay for doing beneficial use is really converging with this project network where we can do beneficial use.
We lost your audio there, Adam.
What's that?
I think we've lost your audio for a second.
Am I back?
I can hear you now, yeah.
You're back and your picture's back, 30 seconds or 45 seconds.
Okay, I was just rambling anyway. I think that's about it for this slide. If I didn't get it across, the one thing I want to say is we're very close to, you know, having the information we need and pursuing the permits and stuff to beneficially use this material at the Samoa town site. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Larry, it looks like you're talking, but you're on mute.
I'm sorry. Yeah, if I could add just two things onto what Adam said, is that in the first place is, you know, again, the board dredge subcommittee, Larry Doss and Pat Higgins, we've worked a lot with them over the last year to kind of, you know, work on these dredging issues. And so they've been, you know, really a huge, huge help on this. And then really the second thing is we talked about doing an annual dredging program, or at least a biannual dredging program with the dredge surcharge fee in this. With these reimbursements from FEMA, we're really setting the stage for the next dredging cycle. Because again, we want to dredge over and over and over again. And this will be the second year in a row where we dredged. In addition to what the Army Corps of Engineers did in front of the Federal Channel. And so it's really like the third swing at the apple in the last year. And our goal is to keep swinging, keep it going. And so that's really is the thing that we're all focused on, is to get this annual or at least biannual dredging program consistently going so that we can tap away at this backlog of dredge material that we have.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. Agreed, we are making progress, getting traction on the beneficial use, finding, you know, cheaper methods, and we're gonna learn a lot this dredging season about how to do this, how to do the dewatering, what challenges we face and so forth. So with all that said, then the staff recommendation is to direct Figus Construction to direct staff to enter into a contract with Figus Construction to execute the base bid. This is the part funded by FEMA to dredge 7,192 cubic yards. And this would also include the mobilization and the hydrographic surveys for a cost not to exceed $377,680. Secondly, and you can choose to do item one here and not item two or item three, but we also recommend that the board direct staff to also contract Figus Construction to implement the option bid to dredge that additional 4,308 cubic yards so we can complete the dredging within those four fairways. The cost of that, which would be out of our dredge fund, would be $172,320. We're also asking the board to consider some contingency money. The reason for this is we have some, just 1 second, Steve, if you don't mind. We have some uncertainty around all this, partly because it's all new methods to us, and frankly, partly because, you know, this is the first time that we've been in this type of agreement with Cal OES and FEMA. You know, if things end up running over a little bit, we're asking, and hopefully we wouldn't have to use any of this, but we're asking for also approval of a 10% of the award contingency funding. That'd be out of the dredge fund just in case things run over or we don't get as much reimbursement from FEMA as we anticipated. And I've been coordinating with FEMA and Cal OES. They've been immensely helpful. It's a massive bureaucracy, and you know, it would just make us a lot more comfortable to have this contingency on there. And I'm sorry, Stephen, I saw you were kind of waving at me, and I'll answer your question. I couldn't lose that train of thought or I would have completely sputtered out.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I didn't know that I was waving at you, but waiting for you to be done with your presentation. Thank you for that. Very informative. Now, there was some correspondence received on this item as well, and I know it's going to come up, so I think it probably makes sense to just bring it up.
I would like to have it come up in the course of discussion. This is Commissioner Higgins. I want to move to pass this recommendation this evening. So that's my wish to be on the record as offering a motion. I hope I have a second, and then let's discuss every aspect of this.
Okay, thank you for answering that.
Commissioner Higgins.
Motion.
Commissioner Higgins, I don't believe you are the chair.
No, but since we
But the thing is that Richard, this is process that he's bringing up the issue that is raised here validly, but
We have business to conduct, and this is imperative, and so it's my prerogative to offer a motion, and I'm not out of order, and I'm looking for a second.
You're definitely not out of order.
No, I'm not out of order. Chair could say I'm out of order. I'm looking for a second.
You should let the chair mediate the discussion and do things in order. So respectfully, Commissioner Higgins, would you let the chair do his job?
Thank you, Richard. Thank you,
Pat. I will take Richard calling me out of order. All right, man. Sorry.
If you weren't out of the order before, you're out of order now. But I was just suggesting that because this was correspondence received on this item, that it could be part of the presentation. I am also willing to entertain a motion and second and have that be part of the discussion. It doesn't matter to me, but I just thought it important that that correspondence gets brought up. I don't know if you have it available that you could put up on the screen there, Adam, but now since you did jump in there, Patrick, and make a motion.
I can probably find that correspondence. Gosh, everyone froze on me.
Okay. I am not hearing a second, so I'm waiting for a second on the motion. Okay, so there's no second on the motion at this time. We can entertain a second motion later. Adam, are you trying to bring that item up on the screen?
Yeah, give me a second. I can find it. I'm sorry. I had my internet, for some reason, say is a little unstable. Hold on one second.
Oh, no, that's okay.
I'm going to stop sharing just for a second.
Larry, as a point of, or Stephen, as a point of order, I think you can call for discussion from board members on this and also make sure that we're appraised. There's a member of the folks who are raising these concerns with us this evening, and Adam could put, you know, their materials up so everybody on the Zoom call could see. But, you know, I think we should proceed with discussion of the business at hand.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. I think that's what Adam is doing. And what I was hoping that could happen then is that before we, just a second, right? What I was hoping, and I wasn't hoping to make this a point of order confrontational issue right here, but because there was this correspondence received, I was hoping that staff could present this correspondence and address this correspondence and then bring it to the board for discussion. So here, I'd like to hear staff's addressing of this correspondence.
Okay, so while Adam is bringing this up, I'll just kind of quickly go over what the main items that were highlighted in the letter. The first bullet point is essentially saying that the bid amounts for the surveying and the mobilization costs did not account for proper prevailing wage because they appear to be so much smaller than the other bids for mobilization. And so I talked to Bob Figas this afternoon, and again, we compared the last couple of years of bids that we've received to see if they're comparable. And in the first place, Mr. Figas bid $75,000 for the mobilization cost. It was the same amount as he had bid last year. He didn't get the award, but he had a bid $75,000 for the mobilization last year. It was the same amount. And what he had said is his barge is sitting less than a mile away from Woodley Island Marina. And all he has to do is put a box on the barge and load his excavator on the barge and have the tugboat tug it a mile to Woodley Island. And then to put down some mats on the dock and do a couple other things at RMT2. And he was confident that he could do that for the $75,000. And then the surveying, the Harbor District we got bids last year to do surveying of Woodley Island Marina. And Mr. Figas's bid was $15,000 for the surveying, pre and post surveying. And last year, the Harbor District did the pre and post, or we did the surveying, and we had paid, I believe it was $12,000 total, approximately $12,000 for the surveys, which is comparable that we found. The second bullet item was that Mr. Figas didn't have any specific dredging experience. And I asked Mr. Figas that, and he told me that he has done a whole host of different projects in the bay, working on barges. Last year, he used his barge for the Harbor District's piling removal project. He also recently, within the last couple of months, he did the Coast Guard dock demolition project. And then he also did environmental remediation on the Eureka waterfront area, and also the dike repair project near the city of Arcata. And so he said he's done quite a bit of water work in the bay and is really comfortable with operating on his barge. The third bullet point is really dealing with that Mr. Figas hasn't really reached out and tried to attract apprentices on the job. He pays the apprenticeship fees that are required of all contractors, but what the union is saying that Mr. Figas really needs to reach out and try to get some apprentices on the job and to give local employees, you know, the training so that they can get the skills in order to, you know, work on these jobs in the future. And he has said that he was recently audited and that he is in good standing with the unions. And so, I'm sorry, good standing with the payment of the apprenticeship dues. And so we found after reviewing this that we recommend that the board proceed with the contract because there wasn't anything that would disqualify Mr. Figas from this contract.
Thank you. And so now I will entertain any discussion or motions from the board.
Matt Higgins, take two or three. I move that we take the action recommended by staff.
Do I have a second on this?
Just a question. We're talking about the recommendation is doing both phases, the base plus the extra. And I am totally in favor of the base. I am on the fence about the extra. So with that understood, I'll make a second for this motion, but it might unravel on you through me in further discussion.
As long as we move forward, I'm willing to amend my motion. I believe that the cost effectiveness of the increase and the benefit for the folks in the marina and the morale and our experience, I think it should be the whole thing. But since Larry Doss is my only second, I will amend my motion to conform to Larry's wishes, and we can proceed on that.
I don't think that's necessary. I think Larry seconded your motion as stated.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Larry Doss. Larry, can you hear me? Sure.
Yeah, okay. So it doesn't mean that we need to parcel it up. I totally agree that since we have them there on the water, whoever is doing the base and the extra makes a lot of sense. Some of the questions that are going to come up are, you know, cash flow wise, how do we look with that extra spend? Since we looked at this as a committee, a lot of the world has changed and a lot of expenses have changed.
Can also, I interrupt you just a second, Larry? I'm sorry. Sure. Just for order, do we have a motion and a second on the floor for doing?
I made the second. Yeah, I made the second.
So just to be clear what we're talking about, we have a motion and a second on the floor for the full staff recommendation.
Yep.
Okay, yes. Go ahead, Larry.
Yes. So my concern is that the world's changed an awful lot since we've met as a dredging committee in person and we've gone over these before the bidding process happened. The other concern I have is that our target per cubic yard cost on the second part is $40 a square foot. I think if I calculated right on the first part, it's around 52. So this isn't, and going into this process, we knew it was going to be expensive. It's not our preferred method of doing this. But I think maybe if we could just speak to the cubic yard price and maybe where we're going after this cycle, if there's been any changes since we last meet, I'd be interested in hearing that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion that we have from the board right now? Huh. Okay, well, I'd like to say then, and I know we have members of the public who are going to want to speak on this, that, you know, I want to see the dredging move forward. And of course, I want to see it as low a cost as possible to the taxpayer who's through various mechanisms coming to cover this cost, both through FEMA and through the dredge fund, so also the marina area, so getting the best deal that we can. I personally do not, you know, I think if we can, you know, if the company has its bonds and everything in order, I think the idea of them not having the specific marina dredging experience is less concerning to me than the concerns brought up by involving their any potential labor practices or concerns with that. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for labor in our community, and so I want to take those concerns very carefully. But also, if they are under, even if they're doing the bare minimum to be in compliance with what they have to be, I mean, that also needs to be taken into concern. So that's all I have, and I'm not hearing.
You know, all I did was make the motion, Stephen, and I would like to reiterate that this is the path to sustainability, and we began the process of reusing sediment, and that sediment will be worth something. We'll cope better with climate change as a society here locally. This is a key step. If we were to pay twice or more the cost of this current activity, it's not sustainable. And this is, we are now going to be able to take control of dredging. We're going to get a take permit for longfin smelt. We have habitat to mitigate for any actions that we take that have harm. And so this is a big step, and it's an important one. I understand the concerns that are expressed by labor, and I'm a strong supporter of the living wage, but this is an action that the district needs to take. It establishes a process that puts us into a mode where we can sustainably dredge into the future. And if we can't do that, then commerce can't go on in Humble Bay. And so I couldn't more emphatically support this action.
Thank you, Pat. And just to be on record, I fully support the idea of beneficial reuse of the dredge material and moving forward. I think this is the right way to go. But once again, hearing, I am getting a taker from the board. Good. Richard, I see your hand up.
Yeah, just I would also like to say for the record that I'm all for beneficial reuse. of the sediment that will be left over. But I also want to remind the commission that we had dredge, you know, estimates that were around $20 a cubic yard if we were using our own dredge. But since we weren't able to actually get it permitted for long fin smelt, we are stuck with these different options. Actually, when I look at a $40 a ton or a cubic yard measurement, that's a lot of money on the district, especially when we were also looking before that, probably 5 years ago, maybe $14 a cubic yard. And some of you were around to remember some of those figures, but now that we're starting to have a reality check of 40, hey, that's all right. I just wanted to let the board and the citizens out there know that we made an investment on a piece of equipment that we were hoping to do this dredging for a lot cheaper and for having a lot more sediment reuse in the future. But it is a step.
Thank you. Okay, hearing nothing else from the board, I'm going to open it up to the public. But before, let's see the best way to do this. I'm going to ask for to do a virtual lineup. So if you're here in the public and want to make a comment on this item, please just state your name. I'll take your name and I'll call you out in order.
Are there any? Ken Sawatsky is one of them.
Okay, Mr. Swatsky, anyone else want to comment on this item?
Jeff Hunterlock.
Corey Albritton.
Okay, I got Jeff Hunterlock, and I didn't quite catch that second name there.
Corey Albritton.
Corey, okay.
And Danny Rolls with the Operating Engineers Apprenticeship.
Albritty and Danny.
Rolls, R-O-L-E-S.
Okay.
I have a question, Commissioner Carl.
I back an acceptance of a fair contract. That's your determination. That's your legal department. I do wish to move and make a comment that you have one bidder on here, which is Mercer Fraser, I believe, which is extremely litigious. If they have grounds for this, of course, they will move ahead and litigate. On the other hand, I also look at the benefit of getting this done for half price. And if everybody's had an equal opportunity to bid apples and apples, and it's all comparatively speaking, I'm kind of blind as far as the union non-union people. So if you have a confidence level that you crossed your T's and dotted your I's, everybody had an equal opportunity on this, and nobody's going to have grounds to litigate. I mean, last time it got unwound, didn't it? We had another one that got unwound because of contractual things. I always applaud, crossing your T's and dotting your I's. I do see a significant public benefit to having it done for approximately half as much as other people. Now, I don't know whether it was because the bidder was extremely sharp in knowing that you were permitting a certain use. The other people are going out to hoods, possibly. I don't know whether Mercer Fraser was going to hoods also. So it's kind of a quandary for me on supporting this. But if you crossed your T's, dotted your I's, some of my concerns, and also knowing Mr. Ficus's level of competence in kind of getting from point A to B, as long as he can do that legally within a contract that's negotiated on an equal basis, I have no problem with the district taking it. And I would counsel you to go ahead and throw another couple of million at this somehow if his rate's low. And if it ends up costing him twice what he thinks it is, I think it's great. The rate, in my opinion, is fantastic considering all the criteria that Patrick and Richard Marks brought forward. as far as that goes. And so it's up to you guys and your legal department to say you've crossed your T's and dotted your I's. If you've done so, I would go ahead and support the bid at that amount as long as it's done on a fair basis. So everybody has an equal opportunity to bid it. So from the same basis. So that's all my thing is. I'm not taking a side. I do like the price being half of the other thing. And as far as a taxpayer in Humboldt County, not speaking for the Humboldt County Taxpayers League, but that I do like to see us always getting our biggest bang for our buck. I do support Jeff Hunterlock and his people, and hoping that this does meet the criteria where they're satisfied with your bid and moving forward.
Thank you, Mr. Slotsky. Next up, we have Jeff Hunterlock.
Chair, I would respectfully refer my time at this time to Danny Rolls and Corey Albrighton, and let me go third, please, in case they miss anything. And I'd appreciate that. Will that be doable or not?
No, I have no problem with that.
Thank you, sir.
So I guess since you're Corey, would you like to go next?
Yes. Good evening, Chair. Thank you, Commissioners, for having us. Just to give you, this is Corey Albritton with the Foundation for Fair Contracting. And just to give you a little background of the Foundation for Fair Contracting, the object and purpose of the foundation is to assist, enhance, and monitor compliance with prevailing wage laws and report violations to the appropriate agency and association pertaining to the construction industry in the 46 Northern California counties. Okay, and saying that, from what we've seen, the bid provided to your office by Fegus Construction signifies that the contractor would not be able to successfully perform its duties on the above project while fulfilling its obligations with the rules and regulations governing the payment of prevailing wages at the bid amount provided due to the following bullet points that the commissioner stated before, which was most notably the surveying and mobilization were not accounted for at the proper prevailing wage rate. And if this awarded the project, this contractor would need to submit multiple costly change orders to complete the project in accordance with the specifications and or compromise prevailing wage law standards. This gives Fegus an unfair advantage in its bidding practice against its competitors and puts the district in a compromised legal position. Okay, and then the second bullet point that the commissioner stated, which was Fegus has not had any public works dredging experience. I do understand that he has had a lot of projects that were taking place on the water, none of which that were stated, I noticed, had anything to do with dredging. And saying that, therefore, does not have the technical ability, project reference, nor experience to execute the contract. And then earlier today, I did send Director Bakir an email with an attachment from the operating engineers, JATC, stating that Fegus Construction has submitted DAS 140s, but never, in fact, has requested an apprentice from the operating engineers in general. I do understand that he has made all his payments to the CAC, which is great, but unfortunately, there is a lot of other obligations that are in to basically keep up to the apprenticeship standards for public works projects.
Thank you for your comments. And then next I have Danny Rolls.
Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I'd just like to thank the commissioner, the commission for having us tonight. Just want to introduce myself. My name is Danny Rolls. I am the apprenticeship coordinator for the Eureka District, the Yuba City District, and the Redding District. And I would like to piggyback on what was just mentioned about Fegus Construction and their unwillingness to train you know, our young men and women in Humboldt County. I have never, I've been on staff for 15 years now, and I've never got the opportunity to work with Figgis Construction in any aspect of construction. They're just paying the bare minimum to get by. And I say that to get to this, I'm fully committed to the community of Eureka and the surrounding area. As far as our high school graduates, college JC graduates, and trying to give them a better way of life with better pay and better benefits, retirement. And with these kind of employers just paying the bare minimum, it's just not acceptable. With these other two contractors we have on board, I work with them all the time, and they do nothing but benefit our communities by employing young men and women and giving them a better way of life. It's been ongoing with Dutra. We had them up at Creston City. Employed two or three apprentices on that project.
Anything we want to say and do, but that don't make it so. So when somebody tells you that they do this or they do that, then we need documentation. And there was a statement made earlier that the apparent low bidder said he did this or that, and he didn't. And there's verification. There was a letter sent out today from the FFC last minute, of course, because in the bidding process, that's why we're up against the gun. And I realize, look, I support dredging. I support everything you gentlemen are trying to do here. But the fact of the matter is, when you do things last minute, the bid, special meeting, whatever you want to call, bid opening, and then we're having a meeting tonight, 2 days. 2 days later, there's no time for anyone, anyhow, to protest, to put anything together, to have conversations with the people. But I know you need to get this stuff done, and I'm in favor of getting it done, but I want it to be fair. And I can tell you, I'm the union person here in this area for the operating engineer, and I'm also the secretary treasurer for the Humboldt Del Norte Building and Construction Trades, and zero has this apparent low bidder ever utilized apprentice. That means the local people, that all of you and me and everybody talks about how we're going to do this and do that for our community. We're not doing crap. And excuse my language. We're really not. We're not doing a thing for the community because we're chasing the low dollar all the time. And look, these other guys that bid on this project, they do. They utilize apprenticeship. They utilize apprenticeship. And they utilize and train. And they give people a living job here in Humboldt County. And that's what we need to do. With that being said, it was stated in your statement earlier, and I believe Adam in his presentation, in the presentation you stated, we're gonna learn how to dredge in this bay without having, we're gonna learn from somebody that's never dredged. It just doesn't make sense. And it's no offense to the apparent low bidder, it's just a fact. He has not done any dredging. So we need to look at all of the opportunities above. And yeah, it's all about the money and all about the cheap rate. And I can tell you this, labor compliance, guys, on this project, when you guide MOBs in, that means it's prevailing wage from the time that ends up here before it gets on the dock, it's prevailing wage. When it goes out on the water, it's prevailing wage. And when it comes off of that barge, it's prevailing wage. That doesn't have anything to do with you, but I can guarantee you on this project alone, and I'm not excited, I talk a little loud, I'm just telling you, on this project right here, that's going to be monitored. I mean, all the way through from start to finish, we're going back and we're looking at the other stuff. And yet anybody can say and do what they want, but I'm going to tell you, I don't like it. We employ 15 apprentices in Humboldt County right here, local men and women, We have two women here. We have people that work on dredges. I have an apprentice right now working on a dredge up in Crescent City because that's my area too. You know, it's just not right that we're not investing in our community also. And I know we got to get it done, guys. I mean, I know it. And I know you're under a time frame, but there needs to be contract language in your next bid documents. And if I see that, and I think we should work together to see these in the bid docs on protest language and how it's about, because there's no protest language, none, zero, nothing. I mean, so, you know, I sent an email. I never got the answer today. I talked to the gentleman today, never got the answer. Hi, Larry, but I never got an email stating it back today of what it takes to protest. I'm not going to protest. What if a contractor wanted to protest? It needs to be in the bid docs before they go out to bid. I mean, and I also think you should have apprenticeship language in there to utilize that. And look, we say union and non-union. I have plenty of non-union contractors in this area, plenty, okay, that utilize the apprentices out of this hall. They're non-union. All they have to do is they're not even bound to the terms and conditions of the agreement. They just have to train apprentices and put them on there and pay their wages fair and there. This gentleman does not do that. And so the points I want to make again are zero experience on a dredge, zero experience with apprenticeship and training. And yeah, they do the bare minimum. Wow, whoopee. And my guys or the other contractors and even other non-union contractors in the area utilize and train apprentices and abide by the apprenticeship. So I can tell you on this one, guys, going to have problems. So I would just urge you, and I know you guys want to get it done. Think about what you're doing. And Pat, I like your enthusiasm, but you know what? You can't just say yeah before you hear all the facts, and that's what you've done. So I appreciate your time tonight. And again, I'm Jeff Hunterlock with the Operating Engineers. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. I'll check one more time. Was there any other public comment on this matter? Thank you, everyone. I'll bring it back to the board for a further discussion.
I'll pick this hot potato right back up. You know, it's cost infeasible for us to do business at $900,000. You know, we're talking about $52 per cubic yard. We just went over 100. And so it's my sad duty in terms of my fiduciary responsibility to conduct the business of the district at a cost that we can bear. And we simply can't bear the higher cost. I am really reached by Mr. Rolls and also Mr. Hunterlock's presentations. And, you know, from the heart, they're real. So but there's mud in the bay. We can't get a permit. We're still doing outmoded techniques. It's like we have to move forward. And if we are, you know, and ultimately, this will be performed by the district. And the district is going to sign an operating engineer's, I'm pretty confident, agreement. And so these can be union jobs under the Harbor District in the long term. If you mess with us because we can't get the FEMA money or the OES money, the, you know, basically the emergency money, then I don't know if that'll be lost or it'll be deferred. But, you know, things move forward. I really wish this dynamic weren't there, but the bids offered by those who offer apprenticeships are they're not affordable for the district, and we're not of unlimited means. And so the state of California or other governmental entities can pay the freight, you know, on freeways and whatever, and it doesn't matter. But for us, it does, because we could go Chapter 9. So there is that duality. I am with labor. I'm with living wages. I am really with our workers. And so I am conflicted, but still resolute. We need to do this.
Thank you, Patrick. Richard, I see your hand up. And then Larry, I see you after that.
Yeah, I would just like to remind the commissioner that we're nowhere near bankruptcy. As a matter of fact, we just had a budget that we brought in that was balanced and actually a little bit is in the black. So we're not destitute. Of course, you know, I do have some history with labor since I was with the Association of Western Pulp and Paper Workers for 30 years and also started retail clerk when I was 16 years old. But, you know, so I do listen to labor also. And in this case, I just wanted to remind that we aren't bankrupt, and please don't put that out there for the public to start nubbling on.
I wish to get back on the floor here, and I didn't say we were bankrupt, but you were talking about the fact that dredging costs have gone up, and I just said $100 per cubic yard. Are you ready to pay that? That's usurious. That's not responsible as a public agency. And so you just characterized my statement improperly, and so thank you, Chairman Coleman, for letting me comment.
Thank you for assuming that I let you comment, Larry?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, thank you for the comments also from the public. I think if I was going to pick the top hopeful top bidders for the projects around the bay, the three companies that ended up bidding would be in my top three. So it was really nice to see Dutra did us a really good job last year and got the ball rolling and was very favorable to us. And even went beyond what they promised in the bid, and can't say enough about Dutra and the great job they did for us last year. And the same with the other companies. I do want to point out though that where the Fegus might be lacking on the union side and giving to the community the jobs, I am aware that he has done an awful lot silently for our community across the board in the county. And I don't want it to be perceived that he's not generous in giving in our community, because I know for a fact he's done an awful lot of things. And one of them for the city of Eureka and for the Harbor District is he put his neck on the line and pulled that halfway sinking 1091 across the bay and got it up on land safely and out of the way for just pennies on what probably could have been cost if the thing had sunk in the bay. So I just want to remind everyone that we are in a small community, and at any one time we might use any one of those three contractors for all kinds of jobs throughout the year, and we do. And I appreciate all three of them very much, but we are in a tight position money-wise as well as just safety-wise of getting some mud out of that bay. And this is a small project. The plan with our committee is to come right back around next year and open bidding up again for more dredging. And the idea is that this harbor district is going to be in a position where we look at dredging, if not every year, but maybe every other year. So just want to keep that in mind that, you know, at any one bidding process, any one of these three and others would be the flavor of the project. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Commissioner Dale?
Thanks, Chair Coleman. I couldn't agree with more with everything that's been said from all parties, including the public. I do believe that the low bidder, the apparent low bidder, is fully capable of doing this work. I know for a fact that he hires local people, and he trains young children. He trains the younger generation. You see him working out there. I see him working all around this county doing just that. So I will say the same for Mercer Fraser. Great organization, does a lot for this community, does a lot for everyone. I'm ecstatic that we got three good bids. I'm disappointed that they weren't closer. It troubles me when you see a bid that's like that. All right, like Vegas's, that is a troubling bid, and I am a little bit concerned about that. And I think we should all be concerned about that. The problem with it is as a public official, it is the low bid, and it is a bid, and it is a contract that we are going to be entering into with a contractor. So maybe he's trying to get his foot in the door. I have no doubt that he can do the work. I mean, has he done a lot of dredging? No. I don't think Mercer Fraser had done a lot of dredging until they had done the dredging on the Eureka Boat Basin either. So I don't have worries about his abilities. I do think it is in both FFC's and Jeff's best interest to make sure that the prevailing wage certifications are done each week on their payroll. Not saying that he's going to cheat on that. I'm just saying that needs to be done no matter what. I'm just ecstatic that we got three good bids. I'm disappointed that they're so expensive. And I'm disappointed that we can't do this with our own cutterhead dredge yet. That's going to be an item next on the agenda, is what we do with that. This is quickly becoming too expensive to operate a marina if you have to dredge every year and you have to pay $100 a yard or $50 or $80 a yard to dredge it out. We can't afford that. And our customers demand that it's dredged. And I think Adam and Larry have done an amazing job of getting FEMA to pay us back for last year's expenses. And the Corps of Engineers, Jared Huffman, for getting the dredge in there right up next to the fairways. So I think that's all I'm gonna say. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner Dale. There's been a lot of really useful and heartfelt discussion. I'd like to ask a couple questions of staff regarding the funding for this dredge cycle. So it's coming from Cal OES and FEMA. Is there a set amount that they are granting, or is it a set volume that they're paying for?
A set volume.
That makes it really interesting. Not that I want to mess with other taxpayers' money or different agencies' money. So if I'm to understand that correctly, they will pay the base amount as long as if we're under some procurement obligations to accept the lowest responsible bid for that amount, if I would imagine, right? There's some sort of stipulations. You're not just saying, we'll pay whatever it costs to take the mud out.
Well, Stephen, I don't know precisely. I can tell you the exact conversations I've had with them are. FEMA had a cost estimate that they came up with for this dredging. I can't tell exactly how they came up with it. It was somewhere, I don't know, somewhere between $350,000 and $400,000. Really close what biggest bid is. Now, they've also said that they would pay for the cubic yards, that their cost estimate is not a not to exceed cost estimate. They're going to pay for the emergency dredging as needed. However, it's my intuition, you know, and it was my intent that if the bid was $2 million or maybe $1 million, I would want to check with FEMA to make sure they're still going to pay it, given that it's so much higher than their original estimate. That's really all I can tell you. It's, you know, FEMA, again, working with FEMA and Cal OES, they've been extremely helpful. I've read the documentation. it's a process. Not everything is entirely predictable or clear to me, right? So I think I explained that right, but please feel free to, you know, have follow-up questions.
Yeah, you said Figus's bid was in the ballpark with what they estimated.
That's correct.
Which is in conflict with some of the arguments that have been made for people who oppose Figus's bid. And again, we're bound by lowest bidder, so I found that edifying.
Well, that's Stephen. Correct. That's correct, but as I noted, I have no idea how FEMA came up with their estimate.
Yeah, I wouldn't put, you know, FEMA's not in the dredging business either, so. But I mean, that is, you know, it is worth noting that it is close to their estimate. And then, so the other question I have is just, you know, I would not, you know, it would not be responsible for us as a commission to put the district in a situation where we might award a bid and then it's contested and then we end up not being able to dredge, which is something similar to what happened a couple years ago.
Commissioner Higgins here. We can't let other people dictate to threat of litigation and then to respond to that, or we'll go into a cycle where every time somebody doesn't like what we're going to do, we're going to sue. And if they sue us, then they stop progress. We don't lose that much. And so it's all instructive. And so regardless of litigation, I don't think that should be a driver. If they want to sue us, that's their right.
Thank you, Patrick. And I would ask you please to ask to speak and speak in turn instead of interrupting other people. So what I was saying is I want to make sure before we accept any bids, you know, that we're not doing it in a way, not because someone might be threatening to sue us, but because we're accepting a bid that is not a responsible bidder, because it's not just lowest bid, it's lowest responsible bidder. And so, but it is then, on the same hand, I think we are under obligation to accept lowest responsible bidder. And so if we can be assured that they will meet their prevailing wage obligations and any other obligations under the Fair Labor Practices, that would be the lowest responsible bidder. And so I'd ask, you know, staff again for that assurance that, you know, we are going to be indemnified from any, so like Figus can't come back, or the contractor, because it's not anything about any particular contractor, but the contractor can't come back and say, oh, I have to pay my people more to pay them by surveilling wage, that's going to be a change order. That's going to be money out of their pocket, is my understanding. That wouldn't.
I have a 100% confidence. Figus Construction does dozens of prevailing wage jobs, and has, you know, lots of experience with paying prevailing wage. And so I have no doubt in my mind that he will be able to do the job and meet the prevailing wage requirements. And I'm also 100% confident that he'll be monitored and potentially audited and other things along the way, and that there will be people that make sure that he follows the rules. This isn't a surprise. This is nothing unusual. This is kind of the standard operating procedure that construction contracts go over, and they have to comply with these rules. These aren't new rules. They've been in place for a long time. And we can't look at the second bid. It has no relevance on whether we award the bid. We have to award it to the low bidder, or we have to reject his bid. And those are really the only two options of how to proceed, is either rejecting the bid or awarding the bid.
Thank you.
Stephen, it's Ryan. I haven't seen the particular contract. I believe it's SHN's contract that has been used before. But speaking generally, it would be the contractor's obligation to comply with all the prevailing wage requirements, assuming they're properly registered with DIR, which would be a precondition for even executing the contract. We would be indemnified against labor violations that are the responsibility of the contractor. As a general matter, again, I haven't seen that particular contract and wasn't aware of the issues with this particular bid. But I'd also say that if the, just as a matter of procedure, if the commission wants to or is considering rejecting the low bid on the basis that Figus Construction is not responsible, we have to provide Figus Construction a hearing and an opportunity to rebut those claims. And so I don't know if we have a formal bid before us, a formal bid protest before us today, because none of the other contractors have submitted one to my knowledge. But if there's going to be a rejection of their bid, we have to first provide them an opportunity to address the allegations.
Thank you for that clarification. All right, is there anything else from the board? Then we have, just getting your hand up there last second, Richard. Go ahead, Richard. You're muted though. You're muted, Richard.
I guess this one will go to Adam. Adam, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Adam, as far as the material going to Redwood Terminal 2, how is that going to be executed? I didn't see anything in the report on exactly how we're talking about moving that material.
Yeah. The intent of Figus Construction is to put it on a barge, and then the barge would be brought using a tug over to Redwood Terminal 2 dock. The material would be offloaded using an excavator to, I believe, a 10-yard trucks, which would transport the material from the dock, like 150, couple hundred feet over to that paved area that we call the tarmac, where they will have assembled a temporary dewatering basin that would be used to dewater the material. And then after they dewater it, they would stockpile it there, put a tarp over it, and put some filtration devices around it.
And the material being moved from the dock to that dewatering area, would that be executed by Figus employees or by staff?
By Figus, we put it in the contract. So we're just left with a pile of dirt under a tarp.
Thank you.
I think it's time for the question.
Yeah, so it was just, thank you, Patrick. So we have a motion and a second. So we have no more discussion. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
You're muted, Larry. There you go. Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
No.
And President Coleman.
Yes. Okay, so that passes. Thank you, everyone who spoke on that. It's not the appropriate time to explain my vote, but I would, if anybody wishes to talk to me about it, at a different time. So moving on to item B, the sale or lease of the dredge.
Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so as is laid out in the in the brief staff report, the Harbor District owns this dredge, and this is actually when it dredged Woodley Island Marina, and this is what basically the end of the cutter head. In other words, at the very very end of the Nehalem, there's a long ladder that extends out, and then this is what's called the cutter head portion of the dredge. And then obviously the pipe then goes out the back. And in this case, the Harbor District was discharging the material on the beach on the Samoa Peninsula. And so we've had the dredge now for the last couple of years. And the dredge, we put a new engine in the dredge, and we've been starting it up every couple of months, and we raise and lower the spud poles and make sure that it's maintained, and actually start the engine up and run water through the dredge, but all on land, not in the water. And so it just doesn't do us any good sitting on land is really as the bottom line. And then the second thing is that, this dredge is really a industrial piece of machinery. It moves a lot of material relatively fast and has been very successful at dredging this marina. But it's really designed to be, do its job here in Woodley Island Marina, then you pick it up and you move it to the next location where it dredges, which may be completely, completely different conditions. And so over the last couple of years, we've been asking people, if you were to dredge and you only had to dredge Woodley Island Marina and Fields Landing Boatyard, and maybe lease it to the small boat basin, in Eureka, then what would you do if you didn't have to pick it up and move and using modern pieces of equipment and other things and doing it as simple as you possibly can? And so time and time again, people said to me, here's what you need to do. You need to buy this excavator attached eddy pump. And so we contacted eddy pump, and we sent them samples of the our sediment that we have in Woodley Island Marina, and said, what size of an eddy pump do you think that we need? And they said, we think you need an 8-inch eddy pump would do plenty, do the job. And then with the eddy pump is basically for $175,000, they gave us a quote, for the 8-inch, or you could lease it for $17,500 a month. It fits right on the end of the excavator. And so all you're buying is basically this end piece, and then any excavator can attach it to it. You can also take that same attachment, and you can also hang it from the end of a cable deployed through a crane or a hoist or other mechanism. And so with this piece of machinery, what I really think in the long term is that the eddy pump could be used if we wanted to go that way route. But what I really think that we should do is we should look at shifting over to this platform dredge. And you can buy this complete package platform dredge minus the pump, again, which is really is just the, if you bought the eddy pump and dangled it below this, and this raises and lowers up and down here, and this is a cable that it runs along the cable, and I'll kind of show you a demonstration of how this would work, then essentially for $250,000, $275,000, you could buy the pump and you could stick it on the end of an excavator and do it off of the barge, or you could just do it off the end of this platform. And so then if you just kind of stick with me for just a a minute is like to just show you a quick video here.
Traditionally, dredging has been expensive, slow to set up, and labor intensive. This is no longer the case.
We don't have the video yet, Larry.
Of dredging and material transport with the
I'm sorry, you're not getting the video? You're not getting the sound?
We're getting the sound, but not the video.
Exactly. You might have to change the share or something. Like you stop one share and then start another share.
Okay.
The audio was pretty convincing.
There we go. Now the video is up.
Okay.
Traditionally, dredging has been expensive, slow to set up, and labor intensive. This is no longer the case. Eddy Pump is changing the face of dredging and material transport with the Excavator Dredger. Combine your existing excavator with our patented Eddy Pump Excavator Attachment Dredger to make a mobile super dredger. Attach this American-built unit and deploy the same day. Use a single operator from land or floating barge. Train any excavator operator how to run our pump in a couple hours. This first segment features a 10-inch excavator attachment on a floating barge, pumping sand at a distance of close to a mile with 80 feet of elevation, without the use of a booster pump. The pump and cutter head are powered by a hydraulic power unit sitting on the barge. Achieve production rates up to 400 cubic yards of material per hour at solids rates of up to 70%. The cutter head in this video is used to break up material and agitate it for increased solids uptake. Pump attachment agitators include cutter head, high pressure water jetting ring, and also a liner safe wheel setup to prevent liner damage. Another popular use for our equipment is for sand and aggregate mining. Here you see a sand pit mining operation using their existing excavator coupled with a long boom for 65 feet of reach. The discharge hose can be left floating or plumb to run over the boom arm. This setup is ideal for sand and aggregate pits, mine tailings ponds, canals, polyline sludge pools, and more. This barge unloading application is a crane-based deployment. The featured unit has a high-pressure water jetting ring option for material breakup and liquefaction of material. A similar setup can be used for railcar unloading or desludging applications. The Eddy Pump can handle high solids, grit, and abrasives between 30 to 70% solids. The unique pump design fights wear from abrasives and aggressive materials. The open rotor design has best-in-class material pass-through. The 8-inch Eddy Pump in this video can pump up to 7-inch solids, an impossible feat with a centrifugal pump of this size. The same unit in this video can be cable deployed for dredging down to 1,000 feet or submerged for diver operation and dredging hard to reach locations under structures. The excavator mounted dredge pump can be deployed in various ways, pump higher solids with less water, thus making it one of the most versatile excavator work tools on the market. Eddy Pump also offers diver operated systems and amphibious tracks for swamp use. Call today about your
Okay, I just want to show you one other little thing.
You've been doing your homework, Larry.
Let me find this one other one.
That was impressive. 7-inch cobbles that thing could suck up.
Can you see this one? Can you see this screen?
Yes. The Eddy Pump logo and.
Yeah. And so then what this is what's called the dredge sled. And it's very similar to what I showed you before, the cable deployed one. And with this, what you could literally do is you could literally do one slip at a time. Just think about this as dredging just one slip, or you could use it in the fairway. This is how small this is. This is kind of like the Roomba that Pat was talking about earlier.
in the dredge sled. This dredge unit is an ideal system for wastewater tank cleanup and mining sites. Target materials include biosludge, mine tailings, and slurry. It utilizes remote-controlled height adjustment of the primary pump and dredge head assembly, allowing you to change the selected depth on the fly. Observe how this unit excels in pumping sediment from a wastewater plant in Australia. This system is conveniently transported within a small storage container for easy job access and relocation. With a crew of 1 to 2 people, the unit is ready to deploy effortlessly within a few hours. The dredge system utilizes a shore-based anchor system, allowing it to be planted in a location with a stake, easily set and forget, while having the flexibility to move location as needed. To deploy, simply crank the continuously loop winch system to cast out the unit. The system is very user-friendly, only requiring one operator to man the unit. The unit will automatically slide back and forth while you sit back and supervise. This dredge system excels at removing sediment from tailings ponds, lagoons, or holding ponds, utilizing high-pressure agitation to pump difficult slurry. The high-performance American-built eddy pump is lowered onto the target material where it agitates and pumps between 40 to 70% solids. The unit is suited for ponds and lagoons, typically up to 20,000 square meters surface area and up to 16 feet deep. The dredge unit's pump assembly fully retracts the main float structure, allowing for easy storage. The system can be powered by electric or hydraulic pumps, depending on customer needs. The end results were outstanding. Highly abrasive sediment and slurry is no match for the dredge sled. Look at the uniform material. Any pump can pump up to 40 to 70% solids.
I'm going to stop it there so I don't
start. The dredge sled is simple, efficient, and easy to use.
So I don't lose anybody. But in essence, on the I'm not saying we should go out and buy this right now, because I've heard the board say before, we don't want to buy another dredge until we actually get the permits. I think I've heard Greg say this how many times? We got to get the permits before we buy anything. What we're doing is we're basically exploring what are the options that we think are the best so that we can have our train, our crews be trained through, ideally through the apprenticeship program that they were describing above before in the previous discussion, and to use our dredge. And so with these, literally with the dredge sled option, you know, the controls are all on land. And so the person is on land and is controlling those and would be connected up to shore power electricity. And so they could control those and then basically maneuvered in smaller chunks, because with the annual dredging program, again, we're looking at doing much smaller chunks regularly. And with the eddy pump system, you could either use the excavator attachment if you wanted to do a large area like the fairways, et cetera, or if you were doing the individual slips, you could literally do individual slips one at a time and then have minimum disruption of the rest of the marina, the tenants. I wanted to just show you just really just not any more videos. I'm not gonna bore you with any more videos, but I wanted to, can you see the, you should be seeing a picture of essentially Woodley Island Marina. Can you see that? And so with the Island Marina, just as an example, let's just say we were dredging this this slip right here in Woodley Island Marina. When I talked to a number of different contractors, dredgers, that said, if you could dredge the material, then what would you do? And they said, the person that is really interested in acquiring our dredge, he told me that within the last year, he's rented the eddy pump 3 times and used it with the excavator attachment. And to quote him, he said, it works fantastic. That's absolutely what you guys should do. where to take the material. Where should we really be looking at taking the material? I'm 120% on board with the Samoa Peninsula and you working with Danco. And that's our pilot project, and that's where we want to go. In the long term, what we really should be looking at doing is we should be looking at in these grassy areas that are right here on Woodley Island Marina. Right here on Woodley Island Marina. These grassy areas, we should be filling these grassy areas. And so we're not pumping all the way across the bay. Next time you come to Woodley Island, I really encourage you to, as you're going around this corner, what you'll see is there's a bank and it's about 4 foot higher all along this area. When Woodley Island Marina was originally built, and it literally says in the coastal development permit, it was intended to be filled to an elevation of 22 feet or 20 feet, 20 or 22 feet. That is approximately this elevation that this cut bank is at right now. And down here at the boardwalk, it's actually 14 to 15 feet. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because also, if you look at the 2100 sea level rise inundation maps for Woodley Island Marina, you'll notice that these lower areas are below the, right at or below the 2100 sea level rise elevations. Now the docks and the gangways are designed to go up and down. If we could take the dredge material and get permitted to basically fill these areas, which were actually constructed with dredge material when they originally constructed Woodley Island Marina, then we could pump the material right here. And we could either construct a dewatering basin very similar to the one that Figas Construction is going to build in Woodley Island Marina, and then truck it over to the Samoa Peninsula for disposal. Or, better yet, just leave it right here in this location as permanent fill for sea level rise adaptation. And again, Woodley Island Marina is an island. We've discussed this numerous times. With the permits, it's actually better to put the dewatered material back into the dredge area that you're already disturbing the soils, and the permits allow the material to be, I believe it's either 15 or 20% above the background levels. And so in the long term, you know, my recommendation is that we should put out an RFP to look for people to buy our dredge. And I think we should specifically be targeting Crescent City, Noyo Harbor, several other coastal marinas that do not have long fin smelt issues. And they regularly use suction cutter head dredges, and ours would be perfect for those locations. And so anyway, that's kind of my overview of what, you know, how I think we should be looking in the long term. And long term, I mean in the next year, as we're working to get the permits to use the suction dredge, because there's no doubt about it, it's the most efficient way. And if we go small and do like those the platform or the sledge dredge approaches, there's no question that our employees could be trained to operate it. So my recommendation is that you authorize us to release a request for proposals to sell our dredge.
Thank you. And is that sell or lease?
Sell or lease. Sell or lease.
Excuse me, point of order. I don't think that's on the agenda. So we should probably take that up at our regular meeting next Thursday. Is that correct?
It's item 6B.
I know, but it doesn't say the action that's being recommended is different than that which staff recommended, or is it different? No. All right. Sorry. That's the same. All right.
Could I make a motion?
Go ahead.
Second.
I think you just made a motion there and Greg just seconded you.
I was going to make that motion to authorize staff to negotiate a lease or sale. And I guess I got a second from Commissioner Dale. Thank you.
and a third for me.
Now, just to confirm, because the recommendation is to release an RFP for the lease or sale. And so that's, and I guess that would be less than the recommended motion to release an RFP than to actually negotiate the lease or sale. So that would be fine. But is your motion to release an RFP for the lease or sale, Richard?
I will include that in my motion if the second will accept.
I second it. This is Pat. I cannot tell a lie. Greg, I'm not second.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Accept I should have guessed.
And the third will agree to that also.
All right. Is there any further discussion on this? Would the RFP, so we're just authorizing you to release the RFP and then any proposals would come back to the board. Is that correct? And
that's correct. That's correct.
Okay. So if there's no more further discussion from the board, is there any discussion from the public on this item?
Am I unmuted?
You are unmuted.
Sweet. You know, you had a report and said it's been a couple years. It's not been a couple years. I mean, what is it, 6 or 7 years? For those of us who've been doing, who now get to do it, I told you so. And I want to apologize, you know, Patrick, that, you know, it wasn't able to work and this, that, and the other. It was a great concept. I do understand it's time to cut our losses. I do wish to, the public doesn't know. I think we got $2 million from PG&E. How much are we going to get back from this? Where's the rest of the money? And its purpose was to dredge this very specific area. So in somewhere in this, is there a commitment to actually physically dredge the area we got the $2 million from? This may be a wonderful tool. And you know, according to the thing, is my question is, why doesn't Dutra, Figas, and Mercer Fraser have that tool? Just a question. You know, there's you know, you always wonder why on things like this. And you know, if Jeff Hunterlock says this is a golden thing for your employees to do this, and he supports that, which I guess undercuts Mercer Fraser and Dutra and Figas for you guys to take this over, I'm not sure you should be in the dredging business. I don't know. So I would run your proposition by Jeff Hunterlock and the other contractors and possibly even suggest that you're willing to negotiate future contracts based upon your crew not doing it. But if they can't afford to buy the asset, which of course I believe all three of those people could buy it, and why don't they have it? So there's always those questions in my mind, you know, regarding that stuff. And I always have a question when you have a public entity that basically steals the jobs from the private entity, and that is what I perceive this to be the agenda all along. So you know, you always want to address those situations. But you know, if Jeff Hunterlock says it's golden overall, he'd rather have your workers do it than Dutra or Mercer Fraser, and probably not Figas. But you know, then that's a question to ask. You need public support on these things. So that's what I get. I get a basic communication and see where we're at and get a buy-in from everybody concerned. Before, the Harbor District has a tendency to wander off into fields which is not its field of expertise. And every time they seem to do that, it just, like the suction head dredge, seems to end up being disastrous. I don't want that to happen again, you know, because you've got enough loss leaders out there in many pits already. So I'm in a quandary, but unless you answer those questions and get a buy-in from everybody in the area, you may not want to go that way. So that's just a little bit of input for me. So, and I'm sure it gets tiresome, but I just look at history and that's kind of my analysis. So thank you for my opportunity to speak on this.
Okay, thank you for your input. Do we have any more comments from the public?
Okay, hearing none. And just a point of clarification that this item is for the sale of the existing dredge, not to purchase or even look to purchase any additional equipment. Commissioner Marks.
Yeah, just my last comment on this. Mr. Swatsky, you had talked about a second bite of an apple on an earlier project. You're going to have a second bite of this apple because this is just an RFPO that will have to come back through the commission for approval and actually have the scrutiny of the citizens such as you. So you'll have another talk on this one.
Thank you. Just
wanted to make sure you knew that.
All right. And I guess just more for curiosity, we don't have to go into this fully, but I just wasn't, for the sale of a piece of equipment, is an RFP actually the right mechanism? That's how you do it? I've never been part of like a sale of equipment like this before.
Yeah, you would do, basically there's either a request for proposals or request for qualifications, and the qualifications is typically for professional services like architect or engineering services, those types of things. And so request for proposals would be the proper procurement method.
We did this once before. But we got no bidders, but I think the climate is different.
All right. Any further discussion, or shall we go to a vote? Hearing no more discussion, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Vice President Doss?
Yes.
And President Coleman?
Yes. Okay, I think we are at our, I lost my agenda here for a second, but okay, so moving on to permits. It says we have none. Any future agenda item suggestions? Hearing none.
Actually, Stephen, I would like to hear a progress report on our take permit for Longfin Smelt. We've acquired properties that should be fully satisfactory to the California Department of Fish and Wildlife for mitigation for Longfin Smelt. We have every intent to redevelop them for Longfin Smelt habitat. We're blocking destruction of Longfin Smelt habitat. It's time to give us a permit. And I'm looking to see this on the table soon, so I'd like to see it on the agenda so we can discuss it and move forward.
Okay, that'll be a good item for a report. And if it were, yeah, I had to convince Patrick, you convinced us, but unfortunately it's not us. Larry?
Mr. Chair, I discussed with Mr. Ochter about presenting a report on the overall transportation plan for around the bay. So it doesn't have to be upcoming meeting, but in one of the near future meetings, it'd be good to just show the coordination that the district's been doing to coordinate not only sea travel, but also the land travel that connects the sea travel. So I've had several people ask me about, you know, the overall plan. So I'd like to see it presented at an upcoming meeting pretty soon.
Great, thank you. Commissioner Marks.
Yeah, I would like to put in a future consideration of agendizing the rail prism around the bay. Just as a topic of discussion, since it lays in our purview also.
Thank you. All right, and just speaking of future agendas, I will be missing the beginning of next meeting, which is next week, is our regularly scheduled meeting. I don't know exactly when I'll be able to join it, but I have a different board meeting to be at. And so hearing nothing else, we can move on to adjournment. Thank you, everybody. Have a great evening and see you all next week.
Thanks, board. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Go get it. If you get a chance, go take a look at the comet at around 10 o'clock in the northwest sky. It's actually pretty cool. You might need binoculars to see it.
Good job, Stephen. Like thanks, everybody.
It's a little early still, Larry.
Yeah, probably at Blue Lake. Probably at Blue Lake it'll be clear. Not in Manila.
Yeah. Oh, it's not. Yeah, it's pretty clear here. We saw it the past couple nights, but it was pretty hazy. Wife could see it with her naked eye. I couldn't, so my eyes are older, I guess.
My wife was looking for it, but you know, again, it gets hazy on the coast sometimes. So, but I'll take a look tonight.
Yeah. Well, this picture was taken. I don't know if you know Dave Farrell, but he took this picture at Trinidad. Which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it looks cool. It looks cool.
Good night.
Okay, bye.